For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Good morning. I'd like to welcome you to the Voice of Victory broadcast. The Bible has much to say about the relationship between the Father and Son. One of the most well-known parables in the Bible describes the relationship of a loving father and his wayward son, who spent his portion of the family's fortune on riotous living. This morning, Pastor Holland will look to Luke chapter 14 to examine the parable of the prodigal son. Just as described in the passage, our Heavenly Father stands waiting for our return, no matter where we have been or what we have done. We will now begin the two-part series entitled, Meanwhile, Back at the Father's House.
Luke chapter number 15. We're going to be looking today at a very familiar passage of Scripture. Many times I've preached on it. And I want you to think with me this morning, not from the perspective of the Son, but I want you to look at it from the perspective of the Father. And while the Son was gone, what was going on at the Father's house? I've entitled the message, Meanwhile, Back at the Father's House. And I believe all of us, from some time in our life, we have been acquainted with being like the prodigal son, leaving the Lord and leaving the Father's house and going in a direction that we should not go, doing the things that we should not do, and getting away from God. But I'm glad today that God is a forgiving God. I'm glad today even our story is a good ending from the standpoint that the man comes to himself and comes back home again. But I want you to see not only the fact that he came back, and there is rejoicing, and we'll look at that today, but I want you to see the pain, the heartache, and the difficulty that it caused his father by him going away. I want to read verse number 17 right now. In fact, I don't even want to read all of verse 17. I just want to read the first phrase. And the Bible said, "And when he came to himself." The story is familiar, and many times most people, if they've had any Bible background at all, they know the story of the prodigal son. In fact, many of them might even be able to relate it to you because of the truths that they've heard. The story that we see here today, I believe, is a very sad story. Even though the Bible does not give us all the details which we might be able to read between the lines and understand, here was a young man that was coming to his father and demanding that he get what he had coming to him. You know, today, honestly, and I'm grateful for mom and dads that work hard and try to leave something for their children, but I'm going to tell you, my daddy left me one of the greatest things in the world. It wasn't a lot of money, but he left me a good name, and he left me a good character, and everywhere I go, people that know my daddy knows what kind of man he was, but I want to live up to the name that he made for us, because he was a good man. But here we find the younger son coming to the dad. And by the way, the custom of the day was when a young son came and demanded that he get what he had coming to him. You know, today we think of inheritance, and usually you get inheritance when you die. And basically, the custom of that day was the same. However, when one came and demanded that they get it right now, they were basically saying, "I wish you were dead. I wish you were not my father anymore." I can only imagine the hurt and the pain that his daddy must have experienced when the younger son came demanding what was his. Rightfully so, it was not his son's at that point. Yet we do not see the dad arguing or even debating with him. In fact, the scripture plainly tells us quickly that he went, he gathered up what was given and divided unto him what belonged to him. But can you imagine the thought in his mind that here was a son that did not have any respect for his father? I believe today the scripture still teaches that we're to honor our fathers and mothers. I believe the Bible teaches that in order that we may live long upon the earth. And I think it's important today to understand that God placed parents in our lives oftentimes, and it's not always the case that they may guide us in the direction that we desire or that we need to go. But yet the truth is today, God gives us them to guide us in the way that we should go. I'm grateful today for my mom and dad. I tell you today, I miss them. They've been in heaven now since 2000. And I tell you, I'm looking forward one day to seeing them again. But I have the fond memories of what took place in their life. I never got to the point, and I don't think I would have went and demanded that my dad give me what belonged to me, because my daddy would have probably not been as generous as this man was, and would have probably said, "Son, I'm not giving you anything unless you live the way that you ought to live." no doubt, the pain of a hurtful demand, that he came and demanded what belonged to him. But then we see, second of all, the pain of a headlong departure. The father's heart must have been broken as he watched his son walk away. You know, today, you can think about it, your children, one of the hardest things in the world for you to do is to see your children leave home. I talked to somebody the other day, and they said, we're experiencing the empty nest syndrome. When you've got kids around the house, and they're running around, and you're doing things for them, and they're there every day, and you're supplying their need, and you love them with all your heart and soul, and the mother has literally given her life to give birth to them, and yet the day comes when they walk away. I remember the day that I left home. It was not a joyous occasion on anybody's part by any means. My dad and I had had a run-in, and I had not agreed in order to live the way that he thought I ought to live. And by the way, he was right. And I was very demanding in what I did, and he told me very plainly, he said, as long as you live in my house, you're going to do what I tell you to do. I don't care how old you are. In fact, he made the statement, if you're living with me when you're 41, you're still going to do what I tell you to do. And I took him serious because he meant what he said. I remember the day that I left, and I remember the sad occasion, and it was a sad occasion because it was on Thanksgiving Eve of that year. Little did I take into consideration that I was not going to have anybody to have dinner with on Thanksgiving Day. Everybody was with their family and their homes, and I think the only place we had around back then was Chandler's, and I believe it was closed on Thanksgiving. And so I don't remember exactly what I had, but it was probably like some Vienna sausage and some soda crackers, and it was a very, very dreadful day. You said, boy, I bet your dad was glad that you got out of his way. No, I want you to know that it broke my dad's heart just as much as I believe it broke the heart of this dad when his son came and demanded that which he had. You see, his dad, as well as my dad, knew that when I left home, I was not headed in the direction that I needed to go. My dad knew me well enough to know that I was not making the proper choices that I ought to make. My dad knew that I was probably going to end up in trouble, and I did many times. And my daddy knew that the best thing for me was to stay at home, obey him, and do what is right. But yet in my feeble mind, in my thinking I knew it all, I determined that I was leaving home and going to do my thing. But I thought about the hurt that it caused my mom and dad as I left. At one point, I moved to Jacksonville, Florida. I was living down there a while, and every time I'd come home, when I'd leave to go back, my mother would cry. I remember my mother crying the night I left, and I remember my mom and dad, they never gave up on me, but I imagine the heartache, and I think about this dad. Friend, I believe this man loved his children more than anything, and he wanted to raise them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, and he wanted to teach them the right way. But yet there came a day when he demanded, he said, I don't care if you're dead, give me what's mine, I'm going to have my time. He departed, and his dad no doubt watched him as he walked away. No doubt his heart was aching and breaking, and probably in his mind, he probably wondered if he'd ever see him again. Maybe he would come back someday, but maybe on the other hand, something could happen to him to claim his life. And I want to say today that I'm only here by the grace of God in my story. But I want you to experience with me the pain of his dad as he watched his son leave. And then I want you to think with me the pain of his heart's devotion. While the son was away, no doubt his dad lay awake night after night after night, wondering where his boy was. Wondering what he was doing, wondering what he was involved in. You see, when our parents raise us, oftentimes they raise us in a way that is pleasing to God, and they know the direction that they want us to go. Yet many times when we go, they have the heartache of not knowing what's going on in our life. I'm grateful that in my time of leaving, I didn't go to a far country. So I was able to see my parents from time to time. And oftentimes it was my dad knocking at my door, trying to get me back in church, trying to do what was right, praying for me, and encouraging me to come back. And I'm glad that my dad remained faithful, just like this man remained faithful. But you know, today, when I take all that scenario into being, we've talked about moms and dads, and we talked about the parents, and we talked about the raising. But can you imagine how God feels today when Jesus, His Son, died on the cross for our sin, gave us eternal salvation, and we turn our back and say, Lord, give us what's ours. We want what we have now. We want to do what we want to do. We don't have time for you, and we turn our back on Him. I believe today God is grieved in His heart. And I believe today that Jesus, as He looks down and sees people that are wandered away from God, people that have got caught up in things that they should not have gotten caught up in, going in a direction that they need not to go, yet I believe His heart is hurt and broken as He thinks about what He did for us on the cross of Calvary. And I think of this story also, and I can't help but relate to mine. But I tell you, there was no doubt in my mind that my dad loved me. My dad cared about me, and I don't believe there's anything in the world he would not do for me. And I'm so glad that he remained faithful through all the years. He never gave up on me. And while I was out doing my thing, while I was out doing things that I should not have been doing, while I was out and could have ended up in some deep trouble or even ended up dead, my mom and dad was still home praying for me and praying that I'd come to my senses and come back to the place that I need to be. I want you to know today that that's exactly the way God is. I believe He looks down today and He sees us in the place we are. His heart is broken. And I tell you today, He desires more than anything in the world that we come back to Him. We're not here playing church. We're not here doing God a favor. Let me tell you, you need to do yourself a favor by going to church and obeying the Word of God and doing what God would have you to do, because His heart is broken today. Because we turn our back on Him and we go the opposite direction. And yet, literally, He gave His life in order that we might have eternal life. I believe this Father is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. While His Son is gone, He's loving, He's waiting. And then look at verse 20. He's patient. The story has always intrigued me. I don't know how much time Dad spent out by the gatepost in this story, but obviously it was a great deal of time, because the chances of him being there when his son come home would be slim to none unless you were spending a great deal of time at the gate. And we find this father no doubt praying, no doubt trusting God, no doubt knowing that his son was going to come home and claiming the promise. And not only did he believe his son was coming home, he was watching for his son to come home. And the Bible said he was waiting. He was a patient longing. The son was missed. The desire, I believe, for God is to have us close to His saints. I believe God wants to have a relationship with us. I believe God is watching us every day that we live if we've committed ourselves to Him. I believe today He's longing to restore the fellowship and bring us back to the place that we need to come to in order that we might be faithful to Him. Because truly, God's been faithful to us. I'm grateful today that the Bible said that God is long-suffering, not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. I think back in my life, and I wonder sometimes why God spared me. I wonder sometimes why God allowed me to get right with Him and preach the Word of God.
The songwriter said, I've wandered far away from God, but now I'm coming home. Where are you this morning? Are you prospering in the field and staying close to our Heavenly Father? Perhaps you're out trying to survive with the swine and what the world has to offer. It is only through Christ that you can come home to the Father's house. Will you choose victory today?
This is Gary Holland, and today's message came to you from the pulpit of Victory Baptist Church, where I serve as pastor. If God has touched your life through the Voice of Victory broadcast, please let us know by contacting us at victorybaptistchurch.us, where all regular services are webcast live. Written correspondence can be addressed to Victory Baptist Church at 938 North Pine Tree Boulevard,
Thomasville, Georgia, 31792. We would like to invite you to our services this morning at Victory Baptist Church, or you can join us on the internet. Thanks for listening, and join us again next week at this same time.